All right, so we're diving into a cure today.
Yeah, ransomware is a hot topic.
It really is, and a cure is especially nasty.
Definitely, especially for anyone running VMware, ESXi
Right,
servers.
all those virtual machines keeping businesses up and running.
If you're in IT, you know exactly what we're talking about.
And this isn't some small-time operation either.
No, by April 2024, they'd already hit over 350 victims.
And pulled in, what, $42 million?
Yep, a cool 42 million.
So what makes Akira different from other ransomware?
Well, for starters, it's not just some random malware.
Okay, so it's organized.
Very organized. They're running it like a business.
Like a ransomware business.
Yeah, ransomware as a service, to be exact.
Just like a franchise.
Exactly. Think of it like McDonald's, but for cybercrime.
Okay, so you've got the Akira HQ.
Yeah, the core developers who create and maintain the ransomware.
And then you've got the affiliates.
Right, the ones actually deploying it and carrying out the attacks.
They get a cut of the profits.
Exactly. Like a franchise fee.
And they started out hitting Windows systems.
It's right back in March 2023.
But then they got more ambitious.
What, they saw a bigger opportunity with ESXi servers.
I guess hitting the hypervisor is a bigger payout.
It's a much bigger payout. Think about it if you hit the hypervisor.
You're hitting all the virtual machines it's running.
Exactly. It's like taking down the whole power grid.
Instead of just cutting the lights to one house.
Yeah, one attack can cripple a whole company.
So how sophisticated is Akira really?
Well, their code has evolved significantly.
How so?
They started using the Rust programming language for Akira V2.
Rust. I've heard of that.
It's known for speed and security.
And it makes it harder for security researchers to
Right,
analyze.
harder to crack. And then there's the encryption,
What did it use it
something
for?
called hybrid encryption.
I'm not really familiar with that.
It combines the CHA-20 stream cipher with the RSA public key system.
So it's fast and difficult to break.
Very fast and very difficult to break.
And if you get hit by Akira, how would you even know?
Well, your files will suddenly have a .akira-new extension.
So what kind of files are they going after?
The ones that will cause the most disruption.
Critical system files.
Right. Things like .ad files.
Those are for Exchange databases, right?
Exactly. So think major email disruption.
So no more sending or receiving emails.
Pretty much. And then there are the .vhd files.
Virtual hard disks.
Yeah, basically your entire virtual computer.
So how do they actually get in?
One way is by exploiting a vulnerability called CVE-2024-37085.
Okay, CVE-2024-37085.
This allows them to bypass authentication.
And that often happens because of misconfigured Active Directory.
Yeah, Active Directory is
Like how
basically.
you manage user access and permissions.
Right, and if it's not set up properly.
It's a huge weak
A
point.
huge weak point, and once they're in,
Things get even worse.
well, they try to cover their tracks.
By doing what?
Disabling logging in core dumps.
So it's like they're erasing their digital footprints
Exactly. It makes it really hard to investigate.
and figure out how to recover the data.
It's all about making it harder for the good guys.
So it's not just about encrypting
No,
files
they're actively trying to hide the evidence.
to make recovery even harder.
Right, and to increase the pressure to pay the ransom.
And they do something else interesting too, right?
Yeah, instead of just shutting down virtual machines.
They manually terminate them
It's about maximizing disruption.
and forcing victims to pay up.
It's a ruthless strategy.
So who is most vulnerable to an Akira attack?
Honestly, almost everyone.
Really?
Almost every business relies on virtualized environments these days.
So it's not just tech companies?
No, they've hit manufacturing, education,
That's the
finance.
critical infrastructure.
If you're running ESXi, you're a potential target.
And geographically, are there any hotspots?
The hardest hit countries have been the USA, Canada, the UK, and Germany.
Wow, so it's a global problem.
It definitely is.
And what happens if you actually get hit by Akira?
Well, the big thing is they use a double extortion strategy.
Double extortion, what's that?
They don't just encrypt your
They
data.
steal it too.
Exactly. And then they threaten to leak it on the dark web.
If you don't pay the ransom.
It's a double whammy.
So you're talking financial loss and reputational damage.
Exactly. And that can be devastating for a business.
So it's not just about getting your data back.
It's about protecting your reputation.
And your future.
Absolutely.
You know, it's easy to get lost in the technical stuff.
Oh, definitely.
But we're talking about real businesses here.
Right. Real people's livelihoods.
When Akira hits, it's not just numbers on a screen.
Nope. And while I was researching this, I came across this case study.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it involved a manufacturing company,
Okay.
mid-sized company in the Midwest.
And they got hit by Akira.
They did, and it completely crippled them.
Wow. How did it happen?
They hadn't been keeping up with their patching.
Oh no, the CVE-2024-37085 vulnerability.
That's the one Akira got in and encrypted their production servers.
Changed production servers.
Yeah, the whole manufacturing line just stopped.
I can't imagine the chaos.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse,
they didn't have backups.
No adequate backups anyway.
Yeah.
So getting back up and running,
it was a nightmare.
A total nightmare. They lost weeks of production.
And how much money did they lose?
Millions. Millions in revenue.
So did they end up paying the ransom?
They did, out of desperation.
But you never know if you'll actually get your data back.
That's the thing. And even if you do,
you're funding criminal activity.
Exactly. And potentially making yourself a target for future attacks.
So did they ever recover?
They're still struggling, to be honest.
The damage was that bad.
It was bad. The financial hit, the reputational damage.
They lost customers.
They did. And they had to lay off employees.
Wow. It's a long road back from something like that.
It really is. And it just shows you how important those preventative measures are.
Patching backups, MFA.
It's not just IT best practices, it's survival.
So were there any red flags in this case?
I mean, the biggest one was outdated software.
They were running an older version of ESXi.
Yeah, it's like leaving the front door wide open.
So keeping everything up to date is crucial.
Absolutely crucial. What else? Poor password hygiene.
Weak passwords, reused passwords.
All it takes is one weak link. And of course,
phishing emails.
People still fall for those.
It's amazing, right?
You'd think everyone would know by now, but...
But they don't.
And those phishing emails can lead to a ransomware attack.
So what can companies do to protect themselves?
Besides all the things we've already talked about.
Like patching and backup.
Right. You need a solid incident response plan.
Okay. What does that look like?
Well, first, it needs to be well documented.
And easy to access.
Right. Everyone in the organization needs to know what to do.
If they think there's a ransomware attack happening.
Exactly. Like a fire drill, but for cyber attacks.
I like that analogy. So clear roles and responsibilities.
Which is in charge of communication, data recovery, contacting law enforcement.
You don't want to be figuring that out during an attack.
No way.
Yeah.
And then specific steps for containment, eradication, and recovery.
So isolating infected systems, removing malware, restoring data.
Exactly. And communication is key, too.
Keeping everyone informed.
Employees, customers, maybe even the media.
Transparency is important.
Definitely. And finally, the plan needs to be tested and updated.
Regularly.
The threat landscape is always changing.
So your plan needs to adapt.
Exactly. Can smaller businesses handle all of this?
That's a good question. It seems like a lot.
It can be a challenge, but it's not impossible.
There are resources available.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of resources.
Like what?
Well, there are government agencies like CISA.
The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
That's one. They offer a ton of guidance and support.
Okay, what else?
There's NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Right. They provide frameworks and best practices.
And they're also cybersecurity vendors.
Who offer solutions for smaller businesses.
Yeah. You don't have to break the bank to protect yourself.
That's good to hear. So where do we go from here?
Well, in part three, we're going to explore the dark side.
The attackers themselves.
The whole ransomware ecosystem.
That sounds fascinating.
It is. We're going to delve into the minds of the criminals.
All right, so we've talked about what Akira is and how it works.
Right, the technical details.
But now I want to know who's behind all of this.
Who are the Akira attackers?
Yeah, are we talking about some guy in a basement?
Oh, no, not at all.
So who is it then?
Well, like a lot of ransomware operations these days.
It's more organized.
Much more organized. Much more organized. Akira operates as ransomware as a service.
Okay, so like a business?
Exactly. It's a sophisticated business model.
So walk me through it. How does it work?
Okay, so imagine like a franchise. You've got the core developers.
The ones who actually create the ransomware.
Right, they create and maintain it and make sure it's working.
And then you've got the affiliates.
Exactly. The affiliates are the ones on the ground.
Deploying the ransomware, carrying out the attacks.
That's it. And they need infrastructure to support all of this.
Like what kind of infrastructure?
Well, they need servers to host the ransomware.
Okay.
And they need websites to leak the stolen data.
So where do they get all of this?
They use what are called bulletproof hosting services.
Bulletproof hosting services.
Yeah, basically web hosting providers that turn a blind eye.
To illegal activity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They host the ransomware, the leak sites, the whole operation.
So these hosting providers are knowingly involved?
It's hard to say for sure, but they're definitely profiting from it.
Wow. And who else is involved in this ransomware ecosystem?
Well, there's another interesting piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
The initial access brokers.
Initial access brokers.
Yeah, these are hackers who specialize in finding vulnerabilities.
Exploiting those vulnerabilities.
Right. but they don't deploy the ransomware themselves.
So what do?
They sell that access to the affiliates.
So they're like the middlemen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They provide the entry point for the ransomware attack.
So we're talking about a whole supply chain for cybercrime.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't forget about the money laundering.
Right. They need to turn that cryptocurrency into cash.
Exactly. It's a complex web of interconnected players.
It's incredible how organized these ransomware gangs are.
It's a global operation with a lot of moving parts.
So how can we even fight back against something this big?
Well, it's a constant battle, but it's not hopeless.
So what's being done?
Law enforcement agencies around the world are cracking down.
They're going after these ransomware gangs.
They are. We're seeing more arrests, more takedowns of infrastructure.
That's good to hear. So they're disrupting their operations.
They definitely are making it harder for them to operate.
But what about on a personal level?
What can individuals do?
Yeah, besides all the technical stuff we've talked about.
Awareness is key.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Don't click on suspicious links. Be skeptical of unexpected emails.
Think before you download anything.
Exactly. Those basic precautions can go a long way.
So common sense goes a long way.
It really does. And at the end of the day,
cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
It is. We all need to do our part to protect ourselves.
From these ransomware threats.
Absolutely. Akira is just one example.
But there are many others out there.
And they're constantly evolving.
Well, this deep dive into Akira has been fascinating.
I agree. It's been a real eye-opener.
Knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely. The more you understand about these threats,
the better you can protect yourself.
Exactly. And your business.
So to our listeners out there, stay informed, stay vigilant,
and stay safe.
We'll see you next time for another deep dive.